I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all what I wanted to be. I thought I could build, yeah, a life second sense, but I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. Listen. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all what I wanted to be. I thought I could build, yeah, a life second sense, but I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. Oh, I can't. Yes, sir. Oh, Lord. Oh, you see the mountain. Oh, Lord. And the valley's just a while, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm down on my knees. Oh, yeah, and I learned to sin, but you see, I, Lord, without you, yes, sir, oh, yeah, church. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself, yeah, as a mighty, mighty big man, but I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. Oh, I can't walk without you, yes, sir. Oh, Lord. See the mountain, oh Lord, and the valley's just about yours, yeah. Oh, I'm down on your side, oh, and I learned to sin, but you see, I. Can't even walk, Lord. I'm so glad about it this evening. Yes, I am, Lord. Oh, yeah, Lord. Yeah. My way gets so hard sometimes. So I'm waiting on you, Lord, yeah. Lord, just hold my hand. I know I can make it, Father. Oh, I can't even walk, Lord, without you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mr. Garland sang that song from the depth of his soul. He sang that song like he knew what he was talking about. And the thing about it is, he shouldn't be the only one that has that testimony. Because the fact of the matter is, you and I can't walk unless he's holding our hand. You know, we sometimes get full of ourselves and we take some things for granted. God doesn't have to let you breathe your next breath. God doesn't have to let you get up in the morning, hit the floor, and you feel your feet there. God doesn't have to let you get up in the morning and you still know who you are. God doesn't have to let you make it through the week going back and forth, up and down the dangerous highways, and you go to point A and point B and everywhere in between. And we just take God for granted because we think we got it like that. You ain't got it like that. You can't walk unless he's holding your hand. And if you know that that's true, well, why don't you give God some praise on this morning? And thank him for his mercy and his grace. Thank him for being a good God. Thank him for looking past all of my faults and all of your faults and still giving us what I need. Oh, some of you too cute. I get it, but that's all right. A day of cute is going to come to the end. You better thank God while you have the opportunity, because you may want to thank him one day and you may not be able to. Thank you, Lord. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed to tell anybody. If it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I know where I'd be. I ain't crazy. I know everybody smiling on my face don't love me. And that's all right. That's all right. But as long as God loves me, you can love me or not. I'm glad you do, if you're sincere. But if you don't, that's all right. Because the last time I looked, God gave me breath. God gave me food. God gave me water. God gave me his air to breathe. God gave me everything I need. And he didn't tell me I had to ask nobody but him for any of it. To God be the glory. And you know what? Whether you know it or not, that's your testimony too. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now. On this last Sunday in December, at the end of another year, that we're able to be in the house of worship. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted that we're able to come to a house of worship. We've got a place to gather together, and we can praise you freely without threat of persecution. Lord, there's some folk can't come together like this and give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory, because they can be killed for calling on your name. But Lord, we're going to say thank you on today for being a good God. And Lord, we want to pray for those who don't have it as well as we do. Use us as you will to distribute your resources to a lost and dying world. But most of all, use us to tell someone that Jesus is the answer to all life's problems. Lord, use me as you will now to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to my sisters and brother in the ministry who are with us here today. I thank God for each of you as well. I thank God that in his grace and mercy, he's allowed us to come into the house of worship. Amen. One more time. Ushers, you may be seated. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, ushers, always being on the post and making sure that people are as comfortable as we can be. I'm not going to be before you long, church family. I just want to share a word that I hope and pray is a word of encouragement to somebody today. If only one person is encouraged by this word, that's all right. I say to the church family, to those who visit all the time, when you come into a service, you ought to come with an open mind. And a heart that's willing to receive, because I don't care whether it don't matter who's doing the preaching. Amen. And contrary to what some of us may think, it doesn't matter how it's preached. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter if the man or the woman hoop and holler and got a little whoop and you think that's great and you get all excited about that and sweat your hair and men's your tie get all twisted and go right out that door. Can't tell nobody a thing the person said, except for ain't he all right. That's all you heard, because that's all you needed to get excited. But it needs to be more than that. It really does. So I pray that when you come to anybody's church service, you come with an open mind, because God's got something for you in that word, if you'll just wait for it. Amen. From the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. The book of Luke, chapter 23, the Gospel of St. Luke. Chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. This is a very familiar passage of scripture to some of us, I'm sure. And as I read it, well, you'll see the connection when we get there. Amen. Amen. To the ushers and the trustees and deacons and auxiliary heads and those who are members of Roanoke Salem, those who are visiting, we thank God for you on this morning. I'm reading this from the New International Version, church family. This is what it says, starting at verse number 29, Luke 23, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. He hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked the first criminal. And he said, don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. 42. Then the second criminal said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Verse 43. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Church family, just for a few minutes, let us reason together from this thought. It's not too late. It's not too late. As we come closer, matter of fact, Sister Tawana said it during praise and worship, 364 days, the Lord has brought us through. We got one more day left in this year. So as we come near to the end of 2018, many of us are thinking back. We may be thinking back on the things that have happened to us and our family and our friends over these past 12 months. Some of us may be asking ourselves, what did I do? What did I accomplish this year? Not necessarily resolutions. You know, we're good, some of us, for making so-called resolutions. And the resolution lasts only until the day after New Year's, and then it's gone. So I'm not talking about necessarily some resolution you may have made, but maybe just one or two things you said, I want to get this done. I want to accomplish this particular thing in this new year. There's only one day left. Only one day left, so I think it's safe to say for most of us, that if we didn't accomplish that important goal, if we didn't do that one special thing before today, it's not likely that it's going to get done before 11:59 p.m. tomorrow night. If your resolution was to lose 25 pounds, Lord love you. You got a few hours left, but it's going to be tight. If your resolution was to take a fabulous vacation. You name the place, wherever it is, your dream spot. And you said in January of this year, I'm going there this year, Dr. Lofton. But you didn't put your pennies aside. You didn't make arrangements on your job, if you have a job. If you haven't gone yet, unless you got a flight leaving right after service, you probably not going to do that. Amen. It's human nature, and it's understandable that we might feel some sense of failure or disappointment with ourselves because we didn't do that thing we said we would do by the end of this year. We didn't take that fantasy trip. We didn't land that dream job. We didn't meet that special person who might become our wifey or our hubby. Some of us did now, but some of us didn't either, okay? That's all right. Don't feel failure, disappointment about that. You didn't increase our knowledge. We didn't go back to school and get an additional degree, which we said we were going to do. We didn't increase our bank account. We didn't pay off any specific bills. All these things we may have said that we were going to try to do in 2018. Maybe it's too late to accomplish those things for this year. But don't be discouraged, because it's not too late to do the one thing that will be the best thing you can do to make a positive change in your life. It's not too late to begin a relationship with Jesus. Believe it or not, this sermon is directly connected to the Christmas season. Amen. Because some of y'all know that passage of scripture that I read from, a lot of times you might hear people read that during the Easter season. But it's directly connected to the Christmas season. I'm going to tell you how in just a little bit. Please look back at me again at Luke 23. Now, according to the Bible, this man, Luke, was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he was a medical doctor. His writing is much more detailed, and his writing is much more analytical, if you will, than the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and John. We pick up this account with the death of Jesus, or as he's dying, and Luke is telling us what happened, that he was dying hanging on that old rugged cross. And now here's how this sermon is connected to the Christmas season. No matter how much we may want to be infatuated with baby Jesus, we must always remember that Jesus came into the world so that baby Jesus would die as full-grown Jesus. Amen. So he came in through the cradle, but his purpose was to end up on the cross. Yeah, and somebody preached that one time, from the cradle to the cross. Yeah, he came in through the cradle, but his intention, his whole purpose was right where we are in this chapter of Luke, these verses of scripture. That's why he came here, to end up on that cross. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross, suffering a death that is too painful to describe. He's being murdered in a way that's reserved for the most wretched and hated common criminals. He's considered a disgrace to his mother and his family. And on top of all of that, Jesus on social media. Jesus on blast. They got it on YouTube. Jesus hanging on the cross. Instagram accounts. Jesus on the cross. Yeah, Facebook. Pictures and commentary. Jesus hanging on the cross. And as cynical as we can be today, y'all know some of the stuff they would have said if they were in today's. Yeah, we look at him. Yeah, he thought he was somebody, but we prove he won't. He was a liar. Yeah, he said he was the Son of God, but look at him up there on that cross now. Ain't nothing to him. He ain't who he said he was. I always knew in the end we proved him to be a liar. He thought he was somebody. All y'all that believed in Jesus, how you like him now? That's the kind of stuff that people were saying, because that's the kind of stuff most of us would say. So on top of all his shame and humiliation, oh, by the way, did I mention the fact that he was on a cross for a crime he didn't commit? Did I mention that? Yeah, he was up there for something he didn't do. On top of all of that, now he's being executed with two criminals on either side of him. One of these criminals is cursing and hurling sarcastic remarks at Jesus. Let me suggest that this criminal number one, he represents all those folks who hate Jesus, and they hate everything that Jesus represents. He hates Jesus for telling people what God says is right and what God says is wrong. He hates Jesus for forgiving people even when they mistreat him. He hates Jesus for being selfless instead of selfish, because we live in a selfish world. Everybody, not everybody, Lord, forgive me, Jesus, because that ain't true. But a whole lot of us is all about me. All eyes on me all the time. And everything I do, everybody in the world got to know because it's me and that makes me special. That's the kind of world. But see, Jesus wasn't like that. So they hated Jesus because he was selfless instead of selfish. They hated Jesus for caring about the needs of other people as much or more than he cared about himself. And those are some of the same reasons why some unsaved folks are going to hate you too. They're going to hate you and they're going to hate me. And when I say hate, I mean dislike, be irritated. But some sure enough hate us because we love Jesus and because we represent and live for Jesus in this lost and dying world. But the second criminal, he's got a different point of view. This criminal tells the other one that they deserve to die for the wrong that they've done. Jesus hasn't done anything wrong, and he doesn't deserve to be put to death. May I suggest that the second criminal, this second thief on the cross, has probably heard about Jesus, or he may have even been an eyewitness to some of the great and miraculous things that Jesus did before he allowed himself to be put on that cross. I got to emphasize that again, church family. He allowed himself. They didn't kill Jesus. Jesus killed himself in that sense. Jesus put himself on that cross. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I give up my life. And he said, I can pick it up again. Yeah. So this second criminal, he may have been an eyewitness to some of the things that Jesus did while he walked the earth. And he recognized that Jesus is the Son of the living God. This second thief on the cross, he knows that his life on this side of eternity is quickly coming to an end. Realizing that he is in the presence of God, the second criminal, the second thief on the cross, comes to the conclusion that as long as he still has life in his body, it's not too late to ask Jesus to save his soul. May I suggest to you again that this second thief on the cross may represent you and me, depending on where we are in our thinking. He could represent those of us who've never given our lives to Jesus and we need to be saved. Or this second thief might represent somebody like us who's saved, but we've not fully committed ourselves to trusting and doing our best to obey Jesus. There's more to your life. There's more to your relationship with Jesus than just getting saved. That's the first step. The second step is you've got to live it. You've got to walk it. You've got to put yourself in position to hear from the Lord daily. And you've got a desire to be obedient to his word. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, yes, I've got all these good things going on for me. And thank you, Lord. But I'm willing, Lord, to put all that aside and just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me as you will. There's more to your relationship with Jesus, church family, than just simply getting saved. We've got to fully commit. So this second thief, he may be somebody that's like somebody that's unsaved, or he may be someone who's saved that has not fully committed. But I came to tell you this morning that it's not too late to get right with Jesus. I believe Jehovah God wants us to understand that even if it's at the end of our lives, we can make a sincere request and he will say, yes, this day, this moment, this hour, I'll take you unto myself. You don't know when your last breath may come. So it's not something to play with now. But what I think is the good news is that even if you realize in a point in time that you're about to come to the end, if you sincerely say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and I acknowledge you as being the Son of God, the Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. It's not too late. He will say yes. I know that's right, because St. John chapter 6 verse 37 says, all that the Father, this was Jesus talking, he said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And then John 3:16, we all know it so well, that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish. The second thief on the cross was a whosoever. And I'm a whosoever. And you're a whosoever too. Amen. Even though he waited until almost the very last minute, it was not too late for that thief on the cross. And it's not too late for you and for me. You just have to decide that giving your life to Jesus or improving your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing you can do before the end of this year. Now, just take 10 seconds and ask yourself, am I where I want to be in my relationship with Jesus? Just ask yourself that question. And if the answer that you give yourself is no, whatever it may be, I ain't talking about how holy you are. I ain't talking about how good and how righteous you are. I'm asking you, is your relationship with Jesus what you think it should be? Do you feel the fullness? Do you feel committed to? Do you feel as though you are putting yourself in position and allowing God to use you fully to his glory? And I want to say to you, if you tell yourself the answer is no, good news, it's not too late. It's not too late, because I believe that God will let all of us see tomorrow. And so if you make that choice and make that decision today, you'll start tomorrow walking in a better relationship with Jesus. I want to say three things and I'll be ready to finish. Three things and I'm going to get out your way. Number one, we need to humble ourselves and submit our lives to Jesus. That's what the thief on the cross did. Now, some of us, that's not our situation. But if that's you today, you need to humble yourself and submit your life to Jesus. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Y'all know this one. God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Church family, if you don't believe nothing else, please get it to a point in your daily life where you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. God knows the world is telling us everything and everybody else is Lord. Some folk even believe they're Lord. Some folk have folk worshiping them, want folk to worship them. You not the Lord. I'm not knocking anybody else's religion. I just know that there's only one God, one true and living God, and his name is Jehovah. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. And I want you to get that in your mind and in your heart here at the end of 2018. If you're not sure about that, you got to be sure. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is everybody's Lord. He may not be everybody's Savior, but he is everybody's Lord. Amen. Amen. So that's number one. We need to humble ourselves and submit our lives to Jesus. Amen. Confess your sins. Ask Jesus to forgive you and repent. What does repent mean? Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Some things we just need to stop doing. We just need to stop doing. And you can stop doing it if you want to. Because what you don't can't stop on your own, Jesus will help you stop if you ask him to. But there's some things we need to stop. Some of us need to stop having nasty attitudes. Some of us need to stop having stuck up dispositions. Some of us need to stop thinking we know it all. Some of us need to stop looking down our noses at other folk. Don't you know when you look down your nose at somebody, God is judging you? What makes me think I can judge you and look down my nose at you? Yeah, you ain't all that you should be, but I ain't always been all that I'm supposed to be. And every day that passes, I ain't always all I'm supposed to be anyway. Amen now. Some of us need to stop seeing somebody we ain't got no business seeing. Amen. Some of us need to stop drinking. Some of us need to stop smoking marijuana. Amen. Some of us need to stop cursing. Some of us need to stop. Some of us need to stop fornicating. Amen. It's look, it's the end of the year. If y'all don't ask me to come back and preach no more, I said it while I was here. If y'all don't want me to come back next Sunday, that's all right. I'm gonna say it this Sunday. So y'all can say my last sermon, he went ahead and let it off. Some of us just did some stuff in our lives. You just need to stop. And I'm going to tell you why you need to stop. Not because I said so, because I ain't your God. Your life ain't going to change or get no better till you stop some of the foolishness you're doing. Amen. It's just that simple. And particularly those of us who claim we know the Lord. Your life is not going to get any better until there's some stuff in your life that you know and I know about my life and you know about your life that we just need to stop. Yes, it's good to me, but I still need to stop. Yes, people respect me because I can do this, but I still need to stop. Yes, I think I got it going on, but I still need to stop. There's just some stuff we need to I said we. I didn't say you. I said there's some stuff we need to stop if we want to see God change. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a spiritual principle. When you come to know the Lord Jesus, your body becomes a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. Now, it's just that simple. I'm not saying he was going to leave you completely. No, but he's not going to deal with you and he's not going to talk to you and he's not going to lead and guide and direct you and give you his Holy Ghost power if you choose to be an unclean vessel. And that's your choice. So some things we just need to stop. First thing we need to do, humble ourselves, submit our lives to Jesus Christ, confess our sins, ask Jesus to forgive us and repent. Some stuff we need to stop. Amen. Number two, we need to tell Jesus what we want from him. Look at verse number 42. Verse number 42. The thief on the cross, that second thief, he made a specific request to Jesus. He made a specific request, and we have permission to ask Jesus for what we want. How do I know that? Because the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, this is Jesus talking, I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we need to tell Jesus what we want from him. Some of us have told Jesus we want to see our marriage situations turn around, and Jesus has done it. Some of us have told Jesus we want him to help us with a wayward child, and Jesus has done it. Some of us have told Jesus we need for him to deal with some medical health issue we have or somebody we love has, and Jesus has done it. We can ask Jesus specifically for what we want, and we can trust him that ever how he chooses to answer, it's going to be for his glory and for our best. Amen? But we have his permission to ask him specifically for what we want. So now, just ask. It's not too late. Just ask. You want to find wifey in 2019? Just ask. You want to find hubby in 2019? Just ask. Let me run back to my number one point, but there's some stuff you might have to stop doing first now. Might be some stuff you might have to stop doing first. But once you stop doing that stuff that keep the Lord from sending wifey and hubby your way, they'll come on. Amen. You want to see your financial situation change in 2019? Just ask. What do you need to ask the Lord for? Some of us need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to trust you enough to tithe. And Roanoke Salem, y'all know, those who visit and don't know this, but Roanoke Salem knows, it's been 364 days, and I don't think I've preached not one message from this pulpit that was based on foundation of that message was tithing. And that was very intentional, because I said to the church family when I became pastor, I don't need to be standing up here every other Sunday talking about tithing, because we already know. We were taught for 24 years about tithing. So if you ain't got it by now, you ain't going to get it. But if you want to see your financial situation get better in 2019, you need to tithe. And if you have trouble trusting the Lord tithing, just ask. Ask him. Say, Lord, help me trust you to tithe. Well, Horsley, that sounds so simplistic. See, that's the problem. We want to make stuff complicated that ain't complicated. Just ask him. He said ask, didn't he? So if that's one of the things you want for 2019, if you're not tithing, start tithing. If you are tithing, remain faithful. And not only tithe, do something for somebody else sometimes. Use what God has given you to bless you to be a blessing to somebody else. And see won't God's favor chase you down and run over you. God will go out of his way to do good stuff for you just because you're trying to be pleasing to him. So number two, we need to tell Jesus what we want from him. Then number three, we need to believe, we need to have faith that Jesus will bless us real good. We need to have faith that Jesus will bless us, and I put real here on this paper in capital letters, real good. You need to believe it. Now, let me say this to you. All of this is up to you. You can believe it or not. You can believe it or not. But I tell you what, I promise you based on God's word, you do this. Somebody gonna see the Lord do some real good things in 2019. Just not because I preach nothing, because you believe God's word. Amen. We need to believe, we need to have faith that Jesus will bless us real good. Look at verse number 43. The thief on the cross, the second thief in verse number 42 said, Jesus, this day, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And in verse number 43, Jesus responded, I tell you the truth, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. This day. So we asked Jesus for what we needed in verse 42, and Jesus responded affirmatively. He responded positively in verse number 43. Jesus gives a positive response. Now, Matthew 21, verse 22, St. Matthew 21, verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. And listen, don't get me wrong. It's human nature that things will shake your faith from time to time. It's human nature that things will make you doubt from time. Look, God understands that. But go back to it anyway. You know what? One of the things that I hope all of us will do in 2019 is just be for real with the Lord about who we are and what's up in our lives. Just be for real. Just tell him, Lord, I'm having trouble believing that. Lord, I got a problem with what you let happen over here. Lord, I listen to the news and I see these things going on. Lord, I don't understand if you are loving just God, why these kinds of things. You can talk to God and tell him anything you want him to know. You can be for real with him. And you know what? And if you'll wait on him, he'll respond to you. If you wait on him, he'll respond. Somehow, some way, he will respond specifically to that thing that you were talking to him about. If you ask the Lord to bless you real good in 2019, Jehovah God will bless you real good in 2019. Why? Because if you ask him with faith, he will honor his word. He'll do it. But you got to ask him and you got to believe that he will. And there'll be some days, there'll be some moments in time when the enemy will try to rise up and your own flesh will rise up and crazy folks will rise up and make you think that it ain't going to happen. But it's going to happen. What did I say for the invocation today? Those who wait upon the Lord. Wait on them. Ask the Lord Jesus to bless you real good in 2019, and Jesus will respond positively. How much faith do I need, Pastor? A little bit. He said a mustard seed size. You don't need to see it to believe it, because your faith is not based on how you feel. If we don't get nothing else, let's get that. Our faith is not based on, because some days I don't feel like God's heard my prayer. Some days I don't feel like I'm getting healed. Some days I don't feel like my marriage is getting any better. Some days I don't feel like my child is going to turn around and get her mind right and see God the way I want for her and her mama wants for her to see God. Some days I don't feel like that. But it ain't about how I feel. It's about what does his word say? His word says just ask and have faith and tell yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord. When you go to the doctor, he tells you the report ain't no better this time than it was the last time. The devil is a lie. I am healed. I am better because God said so. It ain't about what we feel, church family. we gonna get messed up hanging on to our feelings. Some of us won't forgive folk based on how we feel. Well, y'all don't know what they did to me. No, I don't know. But I know God knows. And God says forgive. He didn't say forgive to make the person feel ashamed or embarrassed. He said forgive so he can work through you. He said you forgive so I can bless you. I deal with them. And some of our blessings right now, some of us got blocked blessings in our lives because we can't forgive folk. We got too much pride. We got too much arrogance. We're too selfish. We won't forgive nobody because we believe that I'm always right and they're always wrong. And even when they are wrong, he still said forgive. And let me say this, because somebody said this morning. The Holy Spirit said, say this right now or else you're going to forget it. We got to get over this thing of thinking that God only forgives the folks that we think need to be forgiven. We got to get over that, church family. When Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church members go out here into this lost and dying world, and I'm going to shut up because I'm looking at the time. When we go out here in this lost and dying world, and people start seeing and sensing from us that we really love them and see them the way Jesus sees them, even with all their faults, even with all their shortcomings, even while they're still in the midst of their mess. Yeah, they ain't got saved yet. But God loves them anyway. Because he said, I died for everybody's sins. I didn't just die for the folk that got saved and now, no. He said the drug dealer, I died for his sins. He said the person in the LGBT community, I died for their sins. He said the person who shot 25 folks, I died for their sins too. I may not like it. I may not understand it, but Jesus said, I died for their sins too. Yeah, they're going to have to answer for their crime, but can their soul be saved? The answer is yes, if they give their lives to Jesus. We got to get over thinking that only the persons, folks we think are qualified to get saved, going to get saved. That's not how it works. You know why? Because if that was the case, you wouldn't be saved right now. And I wouldn't be saved. If that was the case, if any of us got to decide who could get saved, none of us sitting here would be, because I guarantee you there's one somebody in your life right now, or there's been somebody in your life, that if God gave him or her the opportunity to say whether or not you would be saved, you would be on your way to hell. It ain't about that. It's about believing his word. It's about believing what his word says. We need to humble ourselves and submit our lives to Jesus. We need to tell Jesus what we want from him and be very clear. And we need to believe, we need to have faith that Jesus will bless us real good. Amen. Dare to believe God wants to do something good for you. It's not too late. It's not too late. Whatever you've been believing God for, whatever your heart's desire is, it's not too late. Okay, Pastor, it's been 20 years and it still ain't happened. It's not too late. You still got breath in your body. It's not too late. And don't let age be your hang up. Don't let age be your hang up. Because God says that I can make your 55, 65, 85 year old body function like that of somebody that's 25, 35. I can make your 78 year old mind that's you've been smoking and drinking and hanging out, but then when you turned about 76, you came to me. I can reverse time in your mind and make your mind just as sharp as it was back when you were 20. God can do that. Age is not the issue. Don't worry about that. No, you believe that God is going to bless you real good in 2019. I urge you as we come to the end of 2018, thank Jesus for all the love, for all the grace and the mercy that he's shown us during these past 364 days. Think about the good things that you may want to do in the new year, but don't let this year end without doing the most important thing you will ever do in your life. If you have not asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, it's not too late. It's not too late. If you're already saved, it's not too late to begin having a closer, deeper relationship with Jesus. Amen. Just like the second thief on the cross, while you still have breath in your body, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry and he will answer by and by. And at the end of it all, it says just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. It's not too late. It's not too late. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on that person that you've been praying for. Don't give up on your own situation. It's not too late. Just put your faith in Jesus and believe him and do what you need to do. Like I said, now, I got to go back to it before I close. Don't expect the Lord to bless you if you're going to keep living your way. Amen. There's nothing judgmental about that. That's just the truth. You've lived your way, whatever number of years you've lived, 15, 20, 25, 45, 65, 85. And where you want to be, you're not there. Why? Because you've been living your way. So if you want to keep on living your way, don't expect the Lord to change anything in your life. But if you're willing to change and do things God's way, you're going to begin to see some immediate turnaround. You're going to see some immediate turnaround, some immediate positive things begin to happen in your life just by your simple obedience to the Lord. It's not too late. It's not too late. Jesus is the one who can turn it around. Why? Because he has the power to do it. Yes, he does. He got that power on a Friday on Golgotha's rugged hill when he hung from a cross. Like he was at the beginning of these scriptures I read to you. That's where he got the power, when he was hanging up there on that cross. Hanging up there on that cross, thinking about everybody in church this morning. Hanging up there on the cross, thinking about everybody in Northampton County. Hanging up there on that cross, thinking about everybody in the state of North Carolina. Hanging up there on that cross, thinking about everybody in the United States. Hanging up there on that cross with every person in the world on his mind that he knew would come after him one day. Hanging up there on that cross, and he had not done one thing to be hanging on that cross. The only thing he was guilty of is loving us too much. See, because I don't love you like Jesus loved you. I promise you I don't. Because they'd come to me and say, will you die for them? I said, no. I got to die for me. They on their own. But Jesus is not like me. And Jesus is not like you. That's why he went up on that cross. That's why he let them nail him to that cross in his hands and on his feet. That's why he let them pierce him in his side. That's why he let them put him in a borrowed tomb. That's why he stayed there all Friday night. That's why he stayed there all Saturday and all Saturday night. But most of all, that's why he got up on that Sunday morning with all power in heaven, on the earth, under the earth. Jesus got up with all power in his hands. He did that for us. He did that for us. And it's not too late. It's not too late for us to connect to him. Tap into his power, his resources. It's not too late. You can turn your life around, but you got to do it with his help. I don't care how bad your situation is right at this very moment. It's not beyond God's ability to turn it around. It's not too late. It's not too late. But you got to decide that you want to. I say this again. Deacons, if y'all please come. I say this again. I love to hear people who've gone to seminary, or not even they haven't, even if they haven't gone to seminary. Some folks, when you hear them preach, you know that the Holy Spirit has, that they've got a close relationship with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit has given them deep revelation of his word. And I love to sit and listen to men and women of God who preach and teach like that, because I learn a lot. To God be the glory. But at the end of it all, after all the Harvard, Yale, A&T, Central, Shaw, Virginia Union education they may have, when it comes down to the end of it all, they're going to bring you right back to this. You have to be willing to believe Jesus for yourself. That's it. It's not complicated. It's not. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to change your situation in 2019? What are you willing to do to begin to change your situation today? Here's the thing you need to do. Humble yourself. Give your life to Jesus. Or if you're saved,
have a deeper commitment and have a closer relationship with Jesus. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. It's up for him to decide whether or not he gives it to you. But he said we can ask. And he said we'll receive according to his good and perfect will. And then have faith. Believe what you're asking for. It doesn't have to happen overnight. Just stand firm that it's going to happen. Is there somebody here this morning who's not giving his or her life to Jesus Christ? And you know you need to be saved. You know you do. You know you do. And the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now.